and welcome to the Lone Star Podcast for Tuesday, June 30th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatale, still back with you in this location where I'm not supposed to be, my in-law's bedroom in Maine. I haven't been discovered yet. I've got a nice little studio set up here. Excited to talk about this Tuesday double with JK. Holiday week, so much stuff percolating in racing with this Keeneland meet coming up. Saratoga not too far. I'll tell you what, I've been enjoying Lone Star immensely, especially the fact that they've strategically put their days where horse players can really put them first and foremost. An excellent decision, and very happy to be back here with you to talk about this early double on Tuesday with a man we always say on the show, he's from the planet Texas, really got its own thing going on down there in so many ways, most of them good. The People's Champion, Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, my friend?
Yeah, come to Texas. We don't have a state income tax, so come get you some of that. actually, I think Joe Rogan's talking about moving here, so that'd be a good influx of money into this community and into our state. But
one of your podcasting heroes, JK, clearly a big influence on JK Plus One. Do you have a plan for who's going to be this week's guest on that show?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I'm having today. I'm having Ray Lou Gutierrez. So I'm excited about young jockey from the New York Racing Association Colony, where he spent a majority of his time and where he is now. I heard him, and horse players will appreciate this. I heard him on an interview on the Fox broadcast with Maggie Wolfendale, and at the end of it, he wrapped by saying, "I want to thank all of the gamblers out there for betting on our product." And that is when I was like, whoa, I have got to figure out more about this kid and talk to this kid, because don't get me wrong, I'm sure that Johnny and Javier and Irad and Manny and Jose and Mike Smith all appreciate and understand the importance of the better. But I just thought it was interesting for a young kid like that to wrap an interview with that. And, college graduate, been around the racetrack his whole life. So I'm interested to just kind of chop it up with him and get his perspective on racing and just who he is and his story. So it should be fun.
Sounds great. I'll tell you who's a big proponent of gamblers and always has been is Angel Cordero. I know he and Harvey Pack, good buddies back in the day, and really appreciated what the players brought to the sport, as the players appreciate all of the jockeys' efforts. You wouldn't know it sometimes from Twitter, but I think you talk to the right ones, you can find a bond between the men and women who risk their lives every day out there making this game go, and working with those equine athletes at the center of the whole endeavor, and the people who are the engine that drives the train in terms of the finance of the sport. And that's you who are listening, the horse players.
As much as I love Twitter, you mentioned Twitter, I'm starting to realize that it's not a very good place.
Wait a second. You've been on Twitter for minimum 5 years. You're starting to realize this now. I generally think of you as a sharp guy. This may be the dimmest comment you've ever made.
I mean, it's just, I'm just thinking about it. If you think about all of these, like all the negative things that are like going on in the world or in the world, it's like they all live there, you know, mm-hmm. It's like where they all live. It's where people go. It's where stupidity is born.
it's an outrage machine. And it's, what's really tough is, okay, we already live in a world pretty much devoid of nuance. Not sure how we got down this rabbit hole, but we live in a world devoid of nuance. And then try limiting that to 140 or 280 characters. See what kind of discourse you're going to get. But as much as I say that, as much as I bury it, it's such a great way. I've met so many nice people as well. It's easy to focus on the one goofball and not think about the 20 people I've been able to have like meaningful conversations with or meet up with. So you gotta, for me, I get it. If somebody, especially now where we are in the world, wants to punt on it completely, I don't judge. I would never say, oh no, you gotta stay on Twitter. Never, ever would I say that. But if you can accept the bad and just focus on the good, what there is of it, and there is plenty, you can still do pretty well. But if you're like, If you imbue too much importance in it, if you're getting like some of your emotional income out of Twitter, or, you know, I think you're going down a bad path. I really don't want to go down the deepest of deep rabbit holes, but was there a specific thing on Twitter that prompted you to say this before we jump into this Tuesday?
Oh, no. No, we're not going down that road. Okay. Let's leave that alone. I was just thinking about it. When you mentioned that about, you know, when we were talking about, you know, jockeys and all that type of stuff.
Jockey bashing on Twitter.
Yeah. That's an interesting place.
Oh, that's a, you know, in the Chinese curse, may you live an interesting life sort of way, I would have to agree. On Tuesday at Lone Star, we kick things off with 3 and up 15K claimers going 7.5 on the Lone Star turf. General question first, 7.5 on the turf. I presume you're treating this as a route race as opposed to a sprint race, or does it not matter? Give us some general thoughts about it.
Yeah, it's just like a Gulfstream as well. They have this. It's, you know, they don't seem to be running it as much at Gulfstream. It's just a two-turn race, and it just happens to be a little bit shorter. And with the varying run-ups at Gulfstream, sometimes it ends up being longer than a mile. So, you know, it's just a two-turn race to me.
To make things extra fun. I like number 10, Killeen, in here. I just thought was the form pick. Dropping from a race that's been productive, and trainer Fachot has strong stats off the layoff, adding to the appeal. Nothing too clever for me in this one. What did you see when you looked at these PPs, JK?
I saw that you're a New Yorker. That's clearly not next door to Louisiana. I think that's Fauchet.
Fauchet? What did I say? Fauchot or something?
Fauchot.
Fauchet is definitely correct. That's
Fauchot would be better though. Like. Like, hey, you want to go to the movies? Faux show. In fact, I feel sorry for Ron Fauchet because I will never, ever refer to him as Ron Fauchet anymore. It will always be faux show.
I think I was thinking of Desore Mo or something. A circuit got scrambled. I haven't had enough coffee. Apologies. For a guy who has a name that gets butchered all the time, I really should do a better job.
I'm only going with I'm going to use three here, and I'm going to use them equally because it's turf racing. They seem pretty equal, and it's trip that matters. I agree with you on the 10, but he's drawn outside. I have to work out a trip. Not that he can't or that he won't, but I'm just going to use these equally. So the 5, 7, and 10, I'll use those equally on the front end of this double, and then I'll get a little bit weighty on the other side. The 5, Lawless West, I thought made sense, and Sherrill's ready. Say it again.
Best speed, Lawless West, and Sherrill's Ready ran down Lawless West last time with a great setup and could do again. I was eyeing both of those as well. I'm kind of with you. I might just piggyback on and use all three in this spot to kick things off in this Tuesday double. Any other thoughts on Sherrill's Ready or Lawless West specifically?
No, I mean, it's just one of those situations where it's trip wins the race, right? Sherrill's Ready got the better trip last time. If Lawless West can get loose again, or Sherrill's Ready has a little bit of trouble, or even the 10, Killeen, has a little bit of trouble, Lawless West can get the job done. Shout out to Killeen, which is a city in Texas, kind of in between Austin and Dallas-Fort Worth, which is famously known for being containing Fort Hood, which is one of the largest military bases in the country. If it's not the biggest, I think it's one of the largest. So thanks to all of those who serve our country.
I like that. I like you getting that, hitting that note in there. I guess my fear about Lawless West was he does look like a bit of a runoff. You see all these 1-1-1 with the red fractions in time form. But who knows? Maybe burned off some energy off the bench last time, second off the layoff, could settle and finish better. I want Lawless West on side, and I feel like just in form terms, if you're going to use Lawless West, you've got to use Sherrill's Ready. That's just how I look at the world. Let's get out of this first leg of the double with the 5, 7, and 10 equal for JK. I'll probably press up the 10 a little bit in there, and that'll move us along to race number 2 on Tuesday. We've got a $7,500 claimer, fillies and mares, 3 and up, going 5 on the dirt. Aha, I'm going to do the thing you're never supposed to do in broadcasting. I'm going to ask the question I don't know the answer to. At Lone Star, if you have an entry and the same rider is named on both halves, is it like New York where one has to scratch, or can you have a jockey change and can they both possibly run? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. I'd imagine. I have no idea. I didn't even know, to be honest with you, I didn't even know that was a rule in New York. I've always thought that you can have two named and you can switch a route. So
if the same one is named, one scratches in New York. I don't know how it is here. I was sort of assuming that was going to be the rule, but for me, both halves of this Broberg entry look live. Even though I'm assuming only one will go, I always hesitate. And every show we do that's picks, I always hesitate including entries. I really have to like them, because we talked several shows back about that notion of horses that are over-included. I think before the last show we did, when you were giving your own opinion about Asmussen in Lone Star, you were talking about how they were over-included and that when you can beat them, you should. I feel the same way about entries. But in this case, Blue Darter back quick off the claim for Broberg with Cabrera up, those are all winning angles for him. And the horse looked the best potential speed on pace figures anyway. And as for Brucaza, I just thought looked poised for a very nice stalk and pounce type trip, fits on the numbers. And then if you're going to use Brucaza, I figure you kind of have to take a long look at M&M Girl, who beat Brucaza last time. I could make you a case that Brucaza could reverse the form because of how much more ground Brucaza covered than M&M Girl last time. I kind of think I want to use both. And then I also wanted to mention Strong Patriot coming out of that same race, just because I thought that horse had a terrible trip in there and could potentially do a lot better with a clean journey. So my overall numbers, I got to go back and look. I didn't write down Strong Patriot's number. But my overall numbers here would be 1, 3, and 5. A little spready, but that's how I see the race. What do you think? Maybe we can narrow it down a bit?
No, I'm going to use 3 as well. Not the 3 horse, but 3 horses or 3 numbers. And I'm going to weigh it and we'll have to do the math on the fly, but I'm going to do the 1, 4, and 5. I'm just kind of against the 3. I just kind of, you know, one of the most inside speeds, the inside speed, but the pace figures aren't really that fast. The final number wasn't crazy fast. I just kind of felt like this is an opportunity to beat Diodoro. He's not quite in that Asmussen conversation of if they have questions, you toss them, but I'm going to try to beat M&M Girl. But I do think M&M Girl is interesting for one reason. I just wanted to mention, I'm not 100% sure, but it looks like M&M Racing claimed this horse on January 31st. But the horse's name is M&M Girl and it's M&M Racing. But isn't that like a crazy coincidence?
It's not a claim back.
I don't think. I mean, it's unless M&M has horses with Treasure and Emerald Downs. I just didn't know that. But maybe.
That's a very interesting question. Well, let's get a message. We're 1 degree of separation from that state, that very successful stable. We should find out. And is this horse Idaho bred? Am I seeing that correct?
It is Idaho.
Well, how about
one
this
thing I know about Idaho is that at one point they played football inside with like a wall behind the end zone. The Idaho Vandals. I just remember that from NCAA.
Sounds dangerous. It's not too often we see in a race we discuss on the show a pedigree where I've literally never heard of sire, dam, or dam sire. But that
you
is
heard
the
of booze?
I don't know booze. You know booze?
No, I'm just joking.
it's B-O-O-S, not even the fun booze.
Yeah, exactly.
You make a good point about this one, like the kind of trip from last time. And then you look at Timeform US and you see this horse being the 8th best speed. But one thing that I've done more in these claiming races that's helped me immensely, and I think you put me onto this idea, is really paying attention to the nuances of class and collateral form, as opposed to just looking at the like internal pace matchups and stuff that I typically do. But looking at internal pace matchups and such, like my typical way of looking at a race at Belmont, I would be against M&M Girl, but for the reasons stated, I ended up here. I think I'm going to include, but just use for lower denominations. You know, I'll probably have a decent 10-1 double, but I'm gonna really mess around with my double combinations here to the point where I'm not even gonna try to do the math on the fly. Maybe I'll send around a double on Twitter tomorrow to give my final tickets out. Any more thoughts on this race before we get to the betting part of it?
No, here's the betting part. In my how I'm gonna go about it, I'm gonna do this is kind of a tricky math one. I'm gonna do $20 doubles with the 3 horses in the first leg, 5, 7, 10. 5, 7, 10 with 1. Okay. And then I'm going to do $10 doubles with 5, 7, 10 with 4. And okay. Then $5 doubles, 5, 7, 10 with 5. And I think I have money left over, don't I? No, I'm over.
Yeah, right? you're a little over.
105. That's all right.
There's no magic. There's no magic to the $100. That's fine. And this is because I think we might see that scratch in the second leg, especially. Maybe we'll both try to revisit this on Twitter, assuming we have the time tomorrow. Of the entry, which half do you like better?
1A.
Brucaza or
Blue Darter? One A. What? Blue Darter.
Okay. I think that is the one that I like better too. Just for the record, but we'll see. They could both end up going. We'll continue this conversation about this Lone Star Double online tomorrow. We will be back with a host of other shows. Tune in themoneypodcast.com. Thank you so much, JK. Thank you to our friends at Lone Star Park, especially Brandon Lee, for all the support. Thanks most of all to all of you who've been making these Lone Star shows such a success. We will see you very soon. May you win all your photos.